Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Our Monday retro report takes us back to a pair of smoky trails in the sky over Cape Canaveral. Very chilling. The 1986 launch of the Challenger space shuttle, January 28th, a historic mission that ended before it began.
Flight controllers here looking very carefully at the situation. Obviously a major malfunction.
Major malfunction.
We have no downlink. Reports from the flight dynamics officer indicate that the vehicle apparently exploded.
What?
The vehicle has exploded.
We are looking at checking on the recovery forces to see what can be done at this point.
The vehicle has exploded.
An explosion, a major malfunction, the details of which emerged in a famous investigation that showed huge design and engineering flaws in the NASA shuttle program. Brett Sigler is producer and editor at Retro Report. Joins me now. Brett, welcome.
Nice to see you.
It was a crazy moment, I remember. There was a sense that NASA was invulnerable, and boy, that was dashed on that particular day.
It's true. Leading up to Challenger, I mean, NASA, there was a culture of almost invulnerability there. I mean, with Apollo 13, the famous line was even their failures were successes. I mean, the astronauts in Apollo 13, by every right, should have also died, but they succeeded against all odds. So I think that there was really a can-do culture there, unlike something most of us are familiar with, I think.
But the investigation showed, and this is really, really interesting, Alan J. McDonald, who's a contractor from Morton Thiokol that was responsible for that O-ring on the solid fuel rockets that was found to be the problem, that culture of invincibility created a management problem that Alan McDonald really refers to here.
NASA pressured the folks at Thiokol to change their mind. And it was clear to me that we finally came back and gave them what they wanted to hear.
Now, is that the full story of what happened with the O-ring, as far as you can tell?
Not what I've found. You know, certainly in the moment after the explosion, there was an investigation. The Rogers Commission came out with their findings, which, you know, pointed a lot of blame, obviously, at the technological failings, which were the O-rings, but also, you know, NASA being under this sort of general schedule pressure to launch. But I think in hindsight, when you sort of look what was happening there, it wasn't about like managers sort of acting amorally at NASA and just sort of pushing this through it at all costs. They were really sort of enforcing rules that existed within NASA. It's just that those rules were bad.
And those rules allowed errors to move up the chain, and it allowed a launch to happen even when something like this was lurking in the background.
Correct. They knew about the history of erosion on O-rings prior to Challenger. It was a well-documented concern with the shuttle, but it had never been catastrophic up to that point. The shuttle system was entirely reusable. So every time they launched a shuttle into space, you know, the rocket boosters would fall off into the ocean. They would retrieve the rocket boosters and they would rehab them and send them back up into space. That's one of the ways that they were trying to make the whole program cost effective, which was a big sort of deal for the shuttle program. So up until Challenger, they had two O-rings. The second O-ring was initially supposed to be a fail-safe. So, you know, the O-rings would keep the rocket fuel within the booster so that it wouldn't breach the side of the rocket and cause an explosion. So what they'd been seeing before Challenger on, you know, numerous occasions was that the rocket fuel was passing the primary O-ring, but it wasn't going past the secondary O-ring. The secondary O-ring stopped it each time. So they knew it was an issue, but they weren't totally sure exactly what was causing it. They knew temperature was involved, but they weren't sure how involved. And because it hadn't been catastrophic, they weren't sure that it was so critical. So they would sort of address the problem, and it would kind of go away, and then it would come back, but it was never critical. So because it never became catastrophic, rather than shutting the whole program down and redesigning the joint, they essentially issued waivers that allowed for some erosion to happen and still make it okay to fly.
Loss of innocence for NASA. Did the organization recover?
It's a difficult question. I think in hindsight, now that we're past the shuttle program, I would say not entirely. In my experience with NASA, NASA is full of very smart, very capable, very intelligent engineers, people in general. And with Challenger, they found themselves in a very unfortunate situation. I think that people really were trying to follow the rules, but the rules were bad.
Brett Sigler is the producer and editor at Retro Report. It's a very extensive report on what happened to the Challenger space shuttle back in 1986. And if you want to see a video of the findings, you can visit thetakeaway.org. Brett, thanks so much.
Thank you.